Brother Stephen feels for me because he knows how it is to get up and try to make announcements and everything. And I miss some sometimes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read starting in verse number 16 down through about verse number 23. But I'm really just going to preach on one of these verses. But 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I'll give you just a moment to find your place. Verse number 16, the Bible says over there, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here today and all the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, your presence here today has already been felt. And I'm thankful for that. Lord, where your spirit is, there's liberty, is what the Bible says. And dear Lord, we ask that you would just manifest yourself in our midst today. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would help us, Lord. We can't do anything. We can't even hear right unless you touch us. We can't worship. We can't have the right frame of mind. Our heart is not in the right condition, Lord, unless you just help us on all of these areas. And so, Lord, we ask that there would be great liberty today. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I'm thankful for the good spirit we've already had, and I just pray that your will would be done. I pray that you would help us, and I'm thankful that you let us be here today and all the blessings you've given to us. Lord, you are so good, and we praise your name for that. And so we ask you to have your way. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. You're probably familiar with this passage of Scripture, and we'll just look on down and look at verse number 27. We didn't read down there, but I want to read a couple of more verses. This is the very end of the book of 1 Thessalonians, and Paul winds it up by saying this, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle, which means a letter, an epistle in the Bible is a letter, this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And so Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. And as he closes this letter out, we see here that this is to be read unto all the holy brethren. This is for everybody. And so these New Testament letters, they passed them around among the different churches so that they would all read. And of course, as we know now, this is all part of the Bible. And so they would all have a part of God's Word. And so the church at Laodicea, over there in Colossians, it says, read this letter to the church at Laodicea. All these letters were to be passed around. This was for all the holy brethren. And let me just go a little bit further and say, that means this is for us too. Now, this is for us this morning. This is just as applicable to our lives today as it was when Paul wrote the letter to the church at Thessalonica. Now, the church at Thessalonica was a good church. In fact, many times it's been preached as a model church. If you go back to chapter number 1, if you have a Scofield Bible, and I know a lot of people do, there's a great little outline or summary of the book. He divides it up, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he says in chapter number 1, it's the model church and the three tenses of the Christian life. That's in chapter 1. Then he says there's the model servant and his reward. That's in chapter 2. There's the model brother and the believer's sanctification in chapter 3. Then in chapter 4, there's the model walk and the believer's hope. And then in chapter 5, there's the model walk and the day of the Lord or the day of Jehovah. So the church at Thessalonica was a good church, a model church. There are doctrinal things, a lot of doctrinal things in the book of 1 Thessalonians. It deals with the coming of the Lord. In fact, chapter number 4, we read this many, many times. Chapter 4 and verse number 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we have the coming of the Lord. We have the rapture of the church. That's a doctrinal teaching. There's a lot of doctrinal things in 1 Thessalonians, but there's also a lot of practical things. You know, I like doctrinal things, but I also like the practical things. How to? How do we walk in this world? How do we live in this world? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to conduct our lives? So there's practical things. And in these verses this morning that we've already read, we read some practical things. And I want to deal with especially verse number 18, where the Bible just talks about the subject of giving thanks. He said, in everything, give thanks. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, the subject of giving thanks. And of course, it's November now, Thanksgiving coming up. We have a Thanksgiving meal today, so just sort of get us on the mind frame of Thanksgiving or giving thanks. And so that's what we want to try to preach on today. Now, for several years, I did not understand verse number 18. I would read verse number 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I did not understand that verse. I read verse number 16, rejoice evermore. I understand that. I read verse 17, pray without ceasing. I understand that. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. I understand. Despise not prophesying. That means don't hate the preaching of God's word. I understand that. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. I understand that. But I would come to verse number 18, and I just didn't understand that. I did not understand how I could give thanks for things and sometimes times that were wrong. You know, in my life, since I've been saved, there's been things in my life that were wrong. I've not been walking with the Lord in times where I should have been walking with the Lord. How can I give thanks for that? But the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. So I didn't understand that. If there's things wrong in our life, how are we to give thanks for that? And so I didn't understand that. But finally, the Lord showed me one day. Look what the Bible says in verse number 18. It does not say, for everything give thanks. It says, in everything give thanks. And so I want to begin this morning by saying, number one, there is a difference when we're talking about giving thanks. There is a difference. First of all, it says in verse number 18, in everything give thanks. And you ought to underline that little word in there. It is different than for. It says in everything give thanks. Now let me give an example of what I'm talking about this morning. Kim gave testimony today, and I think most everybody knows what we've been going through this past summer, but Kim had cancer. And anybody that's ever had cancer, you know what all is involved in that. There's diagnosis, there's sickness, there's doctors, there's appointments, there's treatments, there's surgery, there's more doctor visits, there's sickness, there's doctor bills, there's insurance to deal with, there's family routine all turned upside down, there's feeling bad, there's all kinds of things involved in having cancer. And I don't think we ever sat down one day and said, thank you, Lord, for cancer. Now that'd be odd, wouldn't it? I don't think we ever gave thanks for cancer but we tried all throughout the process to give thanks in cancer. The Bible doesn't say give thanks for everything. There's some things in life that are bad, and you'd rather not ever have to deal with it. But it is proper and good to give thanks in everything. And that is what the Bible says. In everything, give thanks. Now, if our giving of thanks is limited to four, then our thankfulness is going to be limited. If we're only giving thanks when we receive or when we have something, when we receive good things. And a lot of times when we're talking about thankfulness, we use the word for, don't we? We're thankful for our food. We're thankful for our house. We're thankful for a car to drive. We're thankful for a job. You see, all those things we receive, we have. But, you know, we don't want to only be consumer thankers. Only being thankful when we receive. But we do want to be thankful under and in all circumstances. That's the end. We give thanks in. When we learn to give thanks in, that means that we're going to have unlimited thankfulness in our lives. We don't have to receive something to be thankful. But we can be thankful regardless. Whatever circumstance, whatever is going on in our life. The Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 13 and 5, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, when we talk about covetousness, when you are covetous over something, you want something, don't you? When the Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, that's wanting something you don't have. That is a want for something. But the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Boy, wouldn't that change our lives if we just learned to be content with such things as we have? Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul had learned just to be content. And to be content is to be satisfied. The word, it means this, the word content. It means rest or quietness of the mind in the present condition. But many of us are not happy in the present condition. Do you go out into the work world? Do you go out into the places of business? Do you realize that most businesses out here today are based upon the fact that people are not content with anything? Kim and I were listening to a podcast, and it was talking about camping and campers and things like that. And these people that were doing it, they said that the great, great majority of people that buy a new camper will trade it in within a year. That surprised me, but it doesn't surprise me. And they went on to explain that what happens is that people, they will go out and they will buy something, and then they find out they're not satisfied with that and they want more. Isn't that true in every area of life? I mean, you look at cars, you look at houses, you look at anything out there that you want to take for an example, and that's our mindset. We're not content with what we have. We want more. It's too small. We want it bigger. We don't want to be here. We want to be there. Isn't that how we are? You know the old saying about grass being greener on the other side? Well, you just have to mow more. Somebody told me, they said they fertilize their yard. And my response to that is, why? Why do you want to fertilize your yard? I have to mow enough as it is. I don't want to be any greener. I mean, if it dies, I'll do a little bit of something, but a little green's all right with me. I don't want to have to mow every 3 days, every 4 days. But the whole of our society is discontent. the whole of American life and even in the world, the condemning characteristic of people in the last days, Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 21, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. What's wrong with us today? We're not thankful. I'm talking about as a country. I'm talking about by and large, we're just not thankful for what we do have. But we have so much more than so many other people in the context of the whole world. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Do you know the Bible says, if you have food and clothes, you ought to be content with that. We ought to praise the Lord over that. We ought to shout over that. We got food. We got clothing. It doesn't even, they say the three things you need are food, clothing, and shelter. Paul said if you had two out of three, be content with that. We have so much more than that. We have more than we need. Many, many people in the world, that's all they've got. And it's not much. Little bit of food, little bit of clothing, not much. We've got everything. We've got so much. I could get half. I could get rid of three quarters of all the clothes that I've got, and I'd still have plenty. In fact, I just wear just those few. But we're not content with that. Last night I went to roll my clocks back, you know, and it's one of my favorite days of the year. I get my hour back that I lost in the spring. But I'd set my watches back, you know, and I'm sort of ashamed to admit this, but I had 7 watches on my dresser. And 2 of them I don't know how to set back or up. That's too much. The digital things, I can do the stem, but having to set it and everything. Paul said, be content with such things as you have. Just learn to be satisfied. Give thanks in everything, give thanks. I'll tell you what, we don't have control over our circumstances. We don't have control. People say, oh, I wish I could hurry up and retire. You ever heard? I wish Christmas would hurry up and get here. I wish that I would go ahead and graduate. And some older, wiser people, they'll say, don't wish your life away. I'm telling you, it gets gone quick enough. It's hard for us to give thanks in everything. We think, oh, if I could just get down the road, if I could just change it, change this and change that. If you're not thankful here, you're probably not going to be thankful there. But if you'll learn to be thankful in everything right here, then you'll appreciate it a whole lot more when you get over there. Do you know a lot of times we're not as thankful as we ought to be till we get in something? And I giggled this morning. Brother Jeremy said he'd never thought he'd be so excited about a diaper accident. But you know, if your little baby had been sick and had problems, you'd be real thankful for that. That'd be something to rejoice. In everything, give thanks. You wouldn't be, Kim wouldn't have testified this morning like she did if she hadn't had cancer this summer. Sometimes the in just makes, I'm not thankful for cancer, but in everything, give thanks. It just makes you more thankful in your life. Makes you more thankful down the road. You know, a lot of times women, and I guess men too, fuss about their hair. And I can't tell you how many times over the years Kim has said in fussing about her hair, you know, fixing her hair and getting her hair cut. And she'd say in times past, she'd say, you know, I'm thinking about long, I'm thinking about short, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? And I always say, whatever will make you happy will make me happy. It don't matter to me. But she said a lot of times down through the years, she said, I ought not to fuss. These women that don't have any hair. And she's wondering what it's going to grow back like. We're thinking about it, you know, because she's starting to get a little fuzzy on top. And I seen her yesterday morning. I said, you're getting a little bit, it's laying over just a little bit. What's it going to be like? And we've decided we don't care if it's black or gray or white, or just going to be thankful for it. In everything, give thanks. It's what the Bible says. And that is a difference, not for, but in. There's a difference. Number two, there's a decision. It says this, in everything, give thanks. Thanksgiving is not just for one day of the year. It's not just something that you think about for a month. But it's something in our lives that ought to be, it ought to be 365 days a year. It ought to be 24 hours a day. It ought to be 7 days a week that we would consider the subject of giving thanks. Now, this past August, 3 months ago, whatever it is, 90-some days ago, I decided that I was going to write down for 365 days, the next 365 days, something to be thankful for every day. And I called it, and other people have done this, but 365 days of gratitude. I'm going to consciously, and I'm not talking about if we went around, well, I'm thankful for air to breathe. I'm thankful for clothes. And, you know, we could all come up with something. But you think about for a whole year, every day I'm going to consciously, and I'm 3 months in, I'm going to set and write down something that I'm thankful for that day. Now, after about a week or two of all the obvious things, you really got to put some thought into it. What are you going to be thankful for? If you're having a bad day, I've already experienced this. If you're having a bad day, I got down to the end of the day one day and I told Kim and I said, I got to think about something to be thankful for. But gratitude will change your attitude. If you really think about it, what am I going to be thankful for today? What am I thankful for today? And it'll change your attitude because you are actively looking for something to give gratitude for. Now, gratitude is this. Gratitude is an emotion of the heart excited by a favor or benefit received. So, gratitude, if you're an atheist, you got no gratitude because you got nobody to be thankful to. But a child of God has a benefactor, and that's the Lord. And so when we talk about thankfulness, who are you thankful to? When we talk about gratitude, when we talk about gratefulness, who are you showing that gratitude towards? It's the Lord, because He is the giver of every good and every perfect gift. James chapter 1. Verse number 17, grateful means this, having a due sense of benefits. David said in Psalms 116, verse 12 and 13, he said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What can I do to show God that I am grateful for all His benefits? I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll call on the name of the Lord. I'll thank Him. I'll thank Him for what He's done for me. What are you thankful for today? I'm thankful for being saved. I'm thankful for living in the country that I live in. I'm thankful for all the blessings. I mean, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. and to bless His name for. The Bible said in Psalms 100, verse number 4, it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Do you know every service ought to be a thanksgiving service? I thought about, well, should I preach a thanksgiving message on the first Sunday in November? I believe that's in order. Because every time we come through the gates, every time we enter into His presence, we ought to enter into His presence with thankfulness and being thankful unto Him and praising His name. Do you know how good that was this morning if you was here before Sunday school? You know, that made me think about Psalms chapter 45 and verse number 7. It talks about being anointed with the oil of gladness. I believe that's what that was. A little oil makes everything run better. You ladies know that as well. I mean, in the kitchen, in the mechanic shop, in the carpentry shop, whatever the case might be, riding your bicycle, little oil make it all go a whole lot smoother. And boy, when the Lord passes by and there's the oil of gladness in our midst, isn't that good? I mean, it just makes everything so much sweeter and so much better. Every service ought to be a thanksgiving service. Every day ought to be a thanksgiving day. Somebody said they was glad that they received two gifts when they woke up in the morning, they opened their eyes. There's a lot to be thankful for. It's a decision, am I going to give thanks or am I not? Number three, let me point this out in verse number 18. It is divine. It is divine. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It's divine. It is the will of God to be thankful. The will of God is not some mysterious, unknowable, cosmic puzzle that we don't know what it is. A lot of people, they wonder, what is the will of God? God has a will. God has a will for each and every one of us, from the very youngest to the very oldest. God has a will for us. And since God has a will for us, He is morally obligated to show us what it is. If God did not show us what His will was, it'd be wrong for Him to hold us accountable if we didn't do it. I mean, how can you do something you don't know what it is? So if God has a will for us, and He does, then He wants us to know what it is. Well, what is the will of God? Well, it's God's will to be thankful. That's what the Bible says. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's God's will to be thankful. I also read in the Bible that it is God's will for all to come to repentance and to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will for anybody to die lost. God wants people to hear and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 6 verse number 40 says, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. That's God's will. It's God's will for people to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with Him. It is God's will. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I don't want to misquote it this morning. The Bible said, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is the perfect will of God that we present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. He wants to save us. He wants to use us in His service. And He wants us to be thankful. A lot of times we're trying to get people into church. We need to get people into Jesus, and Jesus will get them into church. I mean, they need to get into church. They need to hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. But you know, you can give them the word at the workplace, at the schoolhouse, in the neighborhood. Lead them to the Lord Jesus. The Lord will take care of the rest. He'll get them in the word. He'll get them in church. We'll help and disciple and all of those things. But God's will is not a mystery. It's God's will for us to be thankful. I like to hear some of our leaders now, as opposed to used to, talking about being thankful. Our nation was founded by men that knew how important it was to give thanks for the benefits that have been rendered unto us. So it's a divine thing. If we're talking about giving thanks, who are you going to give it to? We're going to give it to the Lord. He's worthy. It is His will that we be thankful. And number four and last of all this morning, when we're talking about giving thanks, it is directed. Now, look at verse number 18 again. It said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's worth underlining. Concerning you. It is directed. That's pretty personal. Now, we expect the church to give thanks. But who's in the church? You and me. If we come to church and we just leave it up to everybody else, it might not get done. When we come to church, we need to realize that it is directed towards us that we give thanks. When we live our lives, when we sit down to eat our meal, this is God's will concerning you, that you be thankful. It's not just a church thing. It's not just a country thing. It's not just an American holiday. But our God, the God of the Bible, He is a personal God. And a lot of people, they come in, they go through life, they think, well, I'm over here and nobody and God's not paying any attention to me. But I'm telling you, God knows exactly where you are and who you are and what you're doing. And it is God's will concerning you to be thankful, to give thanks. Do you know, not everybody can preach. Is that right? Not everybody God calls to be a missionary to go to a foreign country. Is that right? Not everybody can sing. Now, I know what people say, oh, just make a joyful noise. And I agree with that a little bit, but I really like to hear people sing that can sing. I mean, I'd rather hear the choir sing over hearing myself sing. Because that's not the gift God has given me. But not everybody can sing like some other people can. But do you know there's one thing that everybody can do? And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how educated, uneducated, it does not matter if you're man, woman, boy, girl, any of those things. There's one thing that everybody can participate in, and that's giving thanks. Giving thanks. When somebody really gives thanks out of a full heart, do you know what a blessing that is? When somebody testifies and gives thanks, when somebody has an attitude of thankfulness, you know what a blessing that is? That is appealing. Do you know what is unappealing? Do you know what is unattractive? Is unthankfulness. Or somebody that thinks that they're owed everything just because they exist. That's not attractive. But somebody that's thankful, There's just something attractive to that. That there's a blessing in that. And so it is directed towards us. It's something that everybody can do, that everybody can participate in. And thankfulness makes you a better Christian. Thankfulness makes you a better person. People that are thankful also tend to be humble because they know where their blessings are from. Humbleness as opposed to pridefulness. Thinking I've got all this because of my good works or my good merit. Thankfulness will just make you better. It'll make you have a better attitude. It makes you a better person. It makes you a better Christian. It makes you a better person to be around. It benefits you. And it gives glory and honor to the one that's deserving of it. That's the Lord. And so I understand now what the Bible says when it says in everything give thanks, not for everything. I know somebody could, you know, we could strain it a gnat and say we ought to be thankful for even the bad things. And I understand that, but I like that it says in everything. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so Thanksgiving's coming up, but really, it ought to be every day of the year that we think about giving thanks. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed.